Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden gave another nasty speech tonight. That sucked. Representative Dan Bishop is here. Lauren Chen, I have good news tonight. All that's coming up on I'm Right. Joe Biden gave another nasty speech. Why? Well, there are a few reasons. One, the narrative is important. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's address this. Joe Biden's a jerk. I mean, look, we talk a lot of political things, right? Democrats, Republicans, communists, the narrative, which I'll get into, and all these other things. And all that stuff's true, and all that stuff comes into play. But Joe Biden is a jerk. I do have, because I do this for a living, I do have sources now, which is crazy to think about. I have sources. I have people who tell me inside information. You remember the last speech Joe Biden gave? You're looking at a little image of it right there, how nasty that speech was. And we all were horrified by it. I mean, Democrats were horrified by it. What? What's he doing? You know, a little birdie chirped in my ear. That was not only Joe Biden's idea to give that speech. He had been wanting to give that speech for weeks, and his staff had been holding him back because they knew what a bad idea it was. Joe Biden, long before he became this dementia-addled loser that he is now, Joe Biden's always been a jerk. There's videotape of Joe Biden back to the beginning of his career being a nasty jerk. He's just a vindictive human being to everybody, to his staff. He's famous for that. He's just a jerk. So that's one reason. Another reason is the dementia. Remember, if you've ever had to deal with it, and I hope you haven't, because it really is truly a terrible thing, but if you've ever had to deal with it, you'll know what I'm about to say is true. You become just kind of more of who you are, right? And as you begin to lose other parts of yourself and begin to lose your facilities, the real you really comes bubbling out. And again, back to him always being a jerk. That's who he is. That's who he's always been. The dementia brings that out. Three, well, this is part of the ongoing effort, and this is the bad news part of this whole thing. This is part of the ongoing effort to turn you into not a Republican, not someone on the right or conservative or libertarian, someone on the other side. This is part of an ongoing effort to turn you into an enemy of the state. Because if they turn you into not just a Republican, but an enemy of the state, then what does that do? That gives them the ability to send federal law enforcement after you. They want to arrest you and hurt you for what you believe. Oh, Jesse, that's too crazy. Really? Pay attention lately? You find out that the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, changed its mandate, changed what it was put there to do. You know, go after domestic or go after terror threats overseas. They've completely shifted to domestic terror. And who do they think are the potential domestic terrorists? Well, we have all the documents for that, too. Got one of those Gadsden flags. Got an American flag. Go to Tea Party rallies. Well, congratulations. You're officially on the list as a potential domestic extremist. So that's a huge part of why they're doing it. And they've been very successful. Remember, even with the red wave that's coming here in less than a week now, we are still way behind the eight ball because the entire administrative state, FBI, DOJ, all of them, they've all shifted into a domestic war footing where they believe you are the enemy of the state, and that's how they operate. But three, What's the third reason? Well, four. That'd be the fourth reason. What's the fourth reason he got up and gave a nasty speech like that tonight? The narrative. They have to set a narrative. They have to. It's important. There's an old saying in law. I'm not a lawyer, but I know lawyers, sadly, and it's very, very true, that if you have a case and you're arguing it in front of a jury, if you have facts, you pound the facts. Jesse couldn't have shoplifted that candy bar at 7-Eleven. You know how I know? Because I have my records right here on a security camera showing at that time he was clear across town. Look, I have the facts. It's right there, the facts. If you have the truth, you pound the truth. Jesse couldn't possibly have been eating that Butterfinger or stealing that Butterfinger from 7-Eleven because he was sitting down having dinner with his family at that time. That's the truth. That's what you tell the jury. But what if you don't have either of those things? If you don't have either of those things, you pound the table. You have the facts, you pound the facts. You have the truth, you pound the truth. If you don't have anything, you pound the table. You get up and give a speech like that. Threats to democracy! Because what else is he going to say? What's he going to say? If you're a Democrat right now, what are you running on? The border? Wide open. Inflation? That's not going to work. People go buy groceries. People, you know what? I bring up groceries all the time because it's something we all do. People go buy anything now, and they're all sticker shocked. We just recently priced a little remodel, a little miniature remodel on the home, trying to get some more room in there for one of the kiddos. And we got several estimates back. I believe there were three of them. And it was shocking. It was horrifying. We obviously said, no, we can't afford it. We're not doing it. It was horrifying. It was three times what I thought it was going to be. And I know that industry quite a bit. So you can't run on inflation. You can't run on the border. You can't run on gas prices. You can't run on foreign policy because no matter what you think about Russia, Ukraine, America hates it. America's not, they're not invested in this at all like they are. You can't run on anything tangible. So you have to run on instead threats to democracy. Trying to set a narrative, threats to democracy. Speaking of setting a narrative, we had Halloween a couple nights ago, Halloween. And you know something? It's funny. I have cameras all around my home. It's basic security. I'm a security freak. Every single inch of my home is covered by security cameras. Many of the places around my home, they're covered by two security cameras. I have security cameras everywhere. That's pretty standard security. And do you know that right now, if I wanted to show you video of the kids who showed up to my house dressed as crayons, it was a brother and sister, they were two different colors of crayons. Do you know that I could do it right now as I talk to you on the air, I could pull it up and show you a video of the kids. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna show you a picture of someone else's kids, but I could. But I just can't believe this is real. You know, the Pelosis in San Francisco, you know, they have cameras all around too. All around, as you can imagine, Speaker of the House. Huge security concerns, so they've got cameras everywhere. And the cameras, I just can't believe it. The cameras are monitored by the Capitol Police, of course. So if I can show you the crayon kids in 5 minutes, why have we not seen any video at all of the attack? I mean, it's this dangerous MAGA Republican guy, right? Who broke in there like Jason Bourne and low crawled up the stairs and, well, show me the video. I mean, and forget about the home videos that they have. The San Francisco police have to wear body cameras. They have to, they're required. Where are those videos? No videos, huh? But maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, no, Jesse, but they're gonna come out soon. They'll put those out soon. Well, it's funny you should bring that up because today, the Capitol Police, I'm not making this up, the Capitol Police, it's their job to monitor those videos at the Pelosi home. The Capitol Police came out today and said, oh, dang it. Ugh. I feel terrible. We weren't watching. And apparently they not only weren't watching, the Pelosis have less of a security system than I have because they weren't watching and apparently they weren't recording either. Oh, that video, got lost. Dog ate my homework. Gosh. So, look, that's why guys like Gavin Newsom are trying for this.
when an 82-year-old man is attacked by an intruder in his own home, they don't seem to be too bothered by that because that person is married to the Speaker of the House, who's of a different political party. I just want your viewers, and really I would like every American, just to stop and think about that. This is the kind of violent rhetoric that leads to violent action, that props up authoritarians, and that's unfortunately what we see the Republican Party today supporting.
It's the entire ecosystem that promotes violence, that promotes violent words, and then now both promotes it and also other people who just let it slide.
I don't think Carrie Lake and Ted Cruz are going to come to anybody's home and threaten them. Their silence and their jokes are giving people a green light out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of crazy people, people who are following conspiracy theories online. It's almost like whack-a-mole for law enforcement and people who are trying to track this down.
Look online. Look at the sewage that is online that they amplify on these networks and in social media to dehumanize people like Nancy Pelosi and other political leaders.
Dehumanizing people. Like calling them Nazis, white supremacists. That'd be ugly if we lived in a society where that took place, right? Dehumanizing. I'm sorry I'm dehumanizing you. I do have to give my boy J.D. Vance props. This is pretty well done here.
And I think the effort to turn this into a political issue actually is a real problem here, because Paul Pelosi was attacked. Look, Paul Pelosi was attacked by a person who's an illegal alien in our country, should have never been here in the first place. My view, very simply, is that we need to deport violent illegal aliens, okay? And when an illegal alien attacks Paul Pelosi, it's tragic and it's terrible, but it's not reflective of Republicans. It's reflective of the fact that we let way too many violent people live freely in our country.
That's so well done. Gosh, I can't wait for that guy to be a senator. Which brings me to one final thing. You want to talk about desperation? Here's a fact. Nobody likes a feminist, all right? Even other feminists hate feminists. I know feminists get mad about that, but that's because feminists are mad all the time. It's true. No one's ever said, man, that bitter woman who hates men, I can't wait to hang out with her this Friday. Everyone hates feminists. And Randy Weingarten is the head of a teachers union. Not only is she a feminist, she's a communist, and she is responsible for keeping children out of school for 2 years. This is not a popular human being. And wait, there's more. She's not only not a popular human being, she's not a good speaker. She's not inspirational. She comes off as shrill, which I know is very surprising since she's a feminist. So my question to Democrats is, why do you continue to have this woman on the campaign trail?
But you know who's on our side? You know who's the problem solvers? Governor Whitmer.
The party that wants to cut taxes for the rich and wants to cut the hard-earned benefits that Ohioans have earned.
Okay. Which brings me to this, courtesy of our production staff. Maybe they have Randy Weingarten out there because no one wants Joe Biden out there. Props to the fellas for putting together this little montage of old Joe and how he's been doing.
Debbie, thank you, kiddo. I don't have a greater friend in the United States Senate.
I'm a big fan of HBCUs. I got my start at one of those other HBCUs, Delaware State University.
Last time I was in Florida was almost a month ago because of Hurricane Ivan. Inflation is a worldwide problem right now because of a war in Iraq, and the impact on oil and what Russia's doing, the war in Ukraine, and think of Iraq because that's where my son died. You know how much it costs to make that insulin drug for diabetes?
cost. It was invented by a man who did not patent it because he wanted it available for everyone. I spoke to him. Okay?
All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. All right, election integrity, it's on everybody's mind. It's certainly on mine, especially because we got an election coming up in days. We have an expert on. Did we get a win? I think we got a win. You ready for some good news? All right. There's more good news, too. You can increase your testosterone levels by 20% in 90 days naturally. Not by stopping by a little clinic, getting an injection in your arm, fellas. Natural herbal supplements. Testosterone levels in free fall in this country. You realize how you feel, the energy, how sharp you are is greatly affected by your testosterone levels. Your health is affected by your testosterone levels. Fellas, sign up for a male vitality stack from Chalk and take it for 90 days. Then you email me and tell me how you feel. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack. Ready to feel better too? CHOQ.com, an entire website full of natural herbal supplements. U.S. manufacturing. Plus, they're the most hardcore anti-communists I know over there at Chalk. They have a 35% off special for a subscription. You can cancel it at any time, but if you're going to get it, you might as well subscribe. Then you don't have to think about it again. Plus, you save money. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
So my goal as acting Secretary of State is to make sure we're educating voters, the public, the media, just about how the voting process works in Pennsylvania, how vote counting takes time. And because of the restrictions we have with our state law, you know, we will not have unofficial returns on election night like other states.
Vote counting takes time. Huh, that's so funny. I mean, I'm 41. I've been watching elections for a while now. When we just had paper elections, we had the results every single election night. Countries much less advanced than us have their results on election night. But in Pennsylvania, it takes time. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, Harmeet Dhillon, founder of the Dhillon Law Firm and Liberty Center, also somebody out there fighting tooth and nail for us legally, which we need. Harmeet, it just takes time.
It's amazing how much more time it's taken in recent years, even as technology has advanced, Jesse, and we saw it in the 2020 election particularly. We've seen it in California for some time now. It takes up to 30 days for elections to be tabulated in California, and you can see what the trend is there. And so I don't think that Pennsylvania voters should accept this. There's no reason why this election official should be blaming state law. And they have plenty of paid staff, and they should be able to tabulate the results like other states do on time, and citizenship demands no less.
Harmeet, when I see stuff like this, I'm sorry, but all I think is they're cheating. Because there's not someone find me a better explanation. If it takes that long, I assume you're either cheating or making sure you're able to cheat if you need to do so. How else can you explain the most advanced country in the world not able to count its votes?
Well, I'm not going to call them cheating until I see evidence of that. I think this is unfortunate. I also think that we've seen COVID and COVID-related precautions being used as an excuse over the last 2.5 years for all kinds of delays by all government officials in every capacity. Nobody wants to come to work anymore. Anybody who's an employer can tell you that. And so I think that it is unacceptable, and I think voters need to send that message at the polls next week for change in Pennsylvania.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, You were talking about an amicus brief. Now, I'm stupid. I don't even know what an amicus brief is, but you sounded excited about it. What happened?
So yesterday, there was a major victory in Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Pennsylvania Supreme Court has been the epicenter of much confusion and angst in the 2020 election because that court illegally changed Pennsylvania law in 2020 with respect to absentee voting. The United States Constitution provides that only a state legislature may make the laws about voting in a particular state. Yet time and time again, courts, secretaries of state, and even other election officials below that have changed these laws. And so in Pennsylvania, the legislature has passed several election laws that specifically describe how voting takes place. And one of those requirements is that there must be a date on an affidavit that is on the outside of an envelope of an absentee ballot. Now, some election officials in some counties in Pennsylvania have been ignoring this requirement and saying they're going to count votes even if they don't contain that requirement, which is an election integrity verification requirement. Now, this case was taken all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. United States Supreme Court said, no, the state has to follow election law. When it came back down, the election officials said, actually, we're going to ignore the Supreme Court. We're going to do whatever we want and come sue us. So we did sue the Republican National Committee and other Republican organizations. Republican Party of Pennsylvania filed a lawsuit, took it to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. I filed on behalf of my team an amicus brief with my lawyers at our firm, and we weighed in on behalf of Citizens United on the important issue of who decides election laws in Pennsylvania. Now, an important fact for your team to know who are watching this is the left has said, how dare you try to win a lawsuit on a technicality? Well, the paperwork in the original briefs in this case indicate a specific example of earlier this year. There was a situation where a voter had died during the time that the ballots were out. And somebody returned that voter's ballot after the date of the person dying. So somebody else other than the voter voted that ballot. Now, the fact that there's a dating requirement allows us to verify whether that ballot was fraudulent or not. And in that case, we caught that the ballot was indeed fraudulently cast because the person could not physically have done it on the necessary date. That's why we had these mechanisms in place. So yesterday, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did rule that Pennsylvania law requires the dating to take place. Now, if people don't like that requirement, they want to have no laws, they should elect different people to the Pennsylvania legislature, let those people weaken the election laws, and let that legislature be held accountable. Because it's really hard to hold judges accountable and other officials, but it's not hard to hold legislators accountable. And we're seeing this happen all over the place, Jesse. Just a little earlier today, we saw a similar situation in Virginia. In Virginia, my law firm went to court on behalf of the Virginia GOP to challenge a county, Prince William County, refusal to appoint Republicans, actual Republicans, as the Republican election, official election observers in the county, instead of people who are calling themselves Republicans but actually voted Democrat in each of the last 8 or 9 elections. And the court also issued an injunction today saying, no, the legislature requires that the voters who were appointed actually be Republicans and Democrats respectively, not whoever the election officials want. So it's sad that we have to spend money and go to court to have election officials follow the laws that are written in the state law. We're not asking for anything special. We're asking for them to follow the law. Thankfully, in the last couple of years, we've seen the Republican Party step up time and again and fund these efforts. It's really important, and I'd love to see more of this winning effort and spirit in future elections, Jesse.
Okay, Harmeet, I have to ask you a stupid question. I know you won't be surprised by that, but you say the election officials defied the Supreme Court, and that meant you had to go sue them and things like that. That sounds like a crime to me. If the Supreme Court says no, and you say, up yours, I'm doing it anyway, that sounds like you should actually be arrested and charged with a crime. But I don't want to speak out of turn. You're the law genius. I'm not. Is that not a crime?
Well, the crime, the unlawful act that you described didn't occur, thankfully. But I do think it's dereliction of duty. I do think it's grounds for removal of those officials who defied the law. I do think it's grounds even potentially for impeachment, depending on the political scheme of the state in question. So we cannot stand for this. It, you know, arguably would even be contempt of court. And so, you know, what happens, though, just to be clear, is a court says what happened below was wrong, and then they send it back down to the lower court to make some rules to fix it. And that's the sort of gray area in which election officials have become used during the COVID era to simply making things up as they go along. They're also backed up by the Federal Department of Justice. The Federal Department of Justice is unlawfully, in my opinion, sticking its nose into state laws that are long accepted and perfectly consistent with existing Supreme Court jurisprudence and saying, oh, no, we don't like your election law. We don't like your election practices in your state. We're going to file a lawsuit and interfere. That just happened in Arizona, where the Department of Justice issued an advisory, you know, letter to the court on an issue of independent observers of ballot boxes. And, you know, in that case, it went against us. So we'll see what happens. But what I know is when Republicans weren't showing up in the courts and fighting, Mark Elias and Democrats were winning almost every single time without opposition. Democrats in Virginia tried to eliminate the use of Social Security numbers, another method that is used to verify somebody's identity. And again, my team went to court with the support of donors, Republican donors, and went to court to aid the Virginia GOP. Mark Elias had to cry uncle last week and dismiss his lawsuit with prejudice, meaning it's a total fail. He got nothing that he asked for. And, you know, he would have walked in and reached a settlement with the state without lawyers stepping in to fight this. So that's what's at stake here. And unfortunately, a lot of states around the country already gave in and weakened their election laws because there was nobody funding litigation to help them. I'm only one small law firm. My lawyers can only be in one court at a time on any given day. And so, you know, there need to be more of these efforts and more of us.
Our big donors suck sometimes. Harmeet, thank you so much for what you do. Please keep going.
My pleasure.
All right. We're going to talk to Congressman Dan Bishop about this major DHS story, coordinating with social media. What? Talk to him about that in a second. First, let me tell you something. Allergies suck. I know you know, but they're freaking horrible. I suffered, and I mean suffered for years. When we moved to Montana, I don't know what it is in the air up there, but I mean, I would wake up, my eyes would feel like they had sandpaper in them. It was just horrible. It's awful. I don't even own allergy medication anymore. After 20, 30 years of suffering, I'm allergy free. Eden Pure Thunderstorm did that. I keep three in my home. I keep three here in the studio. It's just this little black box goes in the wall. You'll hardly know it's there. It cleans your air constantly. Not some nasty filter you have to replace. It looks just full of dust. No, 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 no. It's killing the viruses and mold in your air, cleaning out your air. They have three packs for sale for my viewers. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you that three pack for under $200. $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back. Tyranny. It would suck to live under a tyranny, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine this for a second. If your government wanted to control what you say, what you're allowed to say, the information you're allowed to see, it'd be wild. And what if your government actually coordinated with the social media companies to control what goes in your eyes and ears? That'd be creepy, wouldn't it? Well, I got some bad news for you. They're already doing it here. DHS. Let's talk to Congressman Dan Bishop about this. Congressman, that is one of the creepiest things. Honestly, it gets creepier and creepier the more information we find out. The FBI's going to Facebook, preempting the Hunter Biden laptop story, and now we find out the DHS is working hand in hand to censor us? What? When did we turn into this?
And Jesse, that they've got an interface where it's as a matter of regular business, the bureaucrats over at the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI tell tell the social media platforms when they want them to take speech down. And here's how insidious it is. Jesse, as you know, if they were making threats or using coercion, that would be actionable or would be criminal as violation of civil rights. But they do it with on a voluntary basis. They're just consulting, just sharing insights. But we all know what that means. It means there's a network, there's a symbiotic relationship, and they're censoring information. It's dangerous beyond description. And these bureaucrats and the sort of quasi-academics associated with them, they just go on doing it as though they're just sort of, you know, professionals doing good security work. But it's very dangerous to the First Amendment and the survival of free speech in this country.
Congressman, what concerns me is honestly what you just pointed out there. It's such a cabal. They all come from academia. They're all a bunch of left-wingers now, and they're all working together, the administrative state working with the media, working with social media. How in the world do we begin to unpack that basically our entire federal government are a bunch of left-wingers who don't think you should be allowed to speak?
Right. So the notion that there's no partisanship in there, that these are just... These are just public servants, bureaucrats who have no partisan orientation. Well, everybody who's a conservative in this country understands how ridiculous that is now. They're loaded with deep state, you know, leftists. And you know, we owe a great debt of gratitude already to the Attorney General for Missouri and Louisiana, who have this lawsuit that's led to some of these documents being released. But the first answer, Jesse, and it's not by any means sufficient, but the first step is we got a Republican majority I'm on Jim Jordan's Judiciary Committee. I'll use every opportunity I have to dig into the FBI, but I also sat on Homeland Security. I don't know who will be the chairman there we've got to have unprecedented oversight there too. The Department of Homeland Security, created for the purpose of fending off terrorists, you know, anytime you agglomerate that much government power and that many bureaucrats in one place, you know, freedom is going to be endangered, and that's where we are. But we've got to get into that, dig into it, and do the oversight, find out how bad it is.
Why can't you be the chairman? I want you to be the chairman.
You know, it works up there in Washington. You know all too well, Jesse. I mean, I'm one of the more rambunctious ones. They get a little bit fed up with me pretty quickly. That's why we need you in Congress, Jesse. You'd be hell on wheels. We need about 35 or 40 Jesse Kellys. That would be something.
All right. Well, finally, I can't let you go without asking you about the Fed rate hike. I know you saw it. It's just the way it is now. They printed so much frigging money, and now they have to drive the car into the ditch to avoid it going off the cliff. And they're signaling this isn't even the last one. Where's this end?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's no way out other than to take the medicine and get through this. But that's why when it was done the last time, 40 plus years ago, we learned our lesson for 40 years. I mean, or close. I guess maybe the 2008 era is another notable time, but it didn't ever light itself into inflation. But now we've got a disaster. It's worldwide. Biden says it's, you know, bigger in other countries. We don't suck as bad as other countries, but it's because the United States lit that inflation through the spending of the Democrats that we're in the situation we are. So 3/4% or 75 basis point hike. We're going to have more. It's going to be tough if your young person needs a mortgage, right?
Golly. Congressman, go get him. Please keep fighting for us out there.
Thank you, Jesse.
One of the good ones, man. There aren't many good ones, man. That guy's one of the good ones. All right. What is with the endless trans insanity? Isn't it just weird? Let's talk about that with Lauren Chen here in just a second. First of all, let's talk about something. Putting your money where your morals are is not easy. And in some cases, it's flat out impossible. Honestly, sometimes every single part of every industry has been taken over by it. You want to go buy a new car. Go find the car company that wasn't putting out rainbow flags during Pride Month. You have an option with your health insurance. Most of them are trash, yes, but OneShare Health is there. They're right there. The incredible coverage, great prices, but it's a faith-based insurance company. Their values are your values. And they have everything you need. Dental, they got it. Vision, got it. 24/7 telehealth. Got it. They have whatever you need. Go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly gets you $75 off your enrollment fee. Go now. We'll be back.
It's Monday night, and here's what's happened.
B, what are you doing under my desk?
Well, under the desk is kind of my thing. I mean,
but here's the thing. You can stay for now, but when it comes time to voting, you're going to have to get up. Because you've got climate change legislation on the ballot, you've got gun safety, and if we can elect more pro-choice members of Congress, we can reinstitute Roe versus Wade as the law of the land. So you can't stay here. You're going to have to take a little bit of time to vote.
Is now a bad time to say that I voted for McCain in 2008?
As long as you voted.
Okay. Go to iwillvote.com, and I will see you at the polls.
They're freaking everywhere now. Joining me now, my friend Lauren Chen, TPUSA contributor. Lauren, trans people are all of a sudden like the sacred cow in our society. You can't escape it. There was a banking commercial on the other night, and in the living room I turn around and they're running around. What? When did this happen?
I mean, for anyone who's been paying attention, we've been seeing this slowly increase over the past few years. I remember, gosh, a few years ago, there was actually a Super Bowl commercial where I think it was hummus was being advertised with drag queens because, of course, why wouldn't you want to link your dip, your snack food with the LGBTQ umbrella for virtue signaling points? It's very strange. And if you were just to be going based off of what you see in the media, I wouldn't fault you for assuming that 50% of the population of America is trans or LGBT in some way.
Lauren, if just purely politically, we'll set aside how gross so much of this stuff is, but for purely political reasons, I don't understand the widespread Democrat embracement of such a tiny percent of the population. It doesn't make sense. They're losing Hispanics. They filled up the country with Hispanics on purpose to win elections, and now they're losing them to go after like 0.5% of the population. It's just dumb.
No, you're right, it doesn't make sense. And I think what's happening here, the best I can figure it, is that the people who are in the Democratic Party are actually letting a small fringe number of activists on social media control what they're doing, control their election strategies, right? Because it's all very well and good when you have Beto O'Rourke coming out in favor of pushing hormones through trans kids and gets a lot of likes on Twitter, a lot of positive attention. But like you mentioned, the average person, even the average Democrat, is not on board with these policies. And I think this is a case of Democrats just living too much in their own echo chambers in New York and in California. But I say, hey, let them continue, because right now this is an amazing opportunity for the GOP to illustrate to voters exactly how crazy the left have gone.
Speaking of transitioning, you've been covering feminist transitioning. Transitioning into what?
Well, thank goodness, transitioning into, I just want to say broadly, a normal person, but actually feminine people. So there is this one account on Instagram. I recommend you guys follow it, Fearless Femininity. She does a great job documenting women who have actually left feminism, left the progressive bubble, in order to not just become mothers and wives, but actually to embrace a walk with Christ. And you can see the amazing transformations from the inside out. You know, we've seen women go from blue-haired, angry feminists, even doing sex work, to actual church-going mothers and wives. And I think it's a great example of how, you know, no one is beyond redemption when it comes to Christ. But unfortunately, when we're looking at how black an ideology progressivism and feminism is, I think for a lot of people, these types of transformations may not be possible without saving grace. And it's nice once in a while to see that transformations can happen for the better. And, you know, obviously looks aren't everything, but I think it speaks to how much happier these women are on the inside when you can see someone go from, you know, colorful hair, piercing, scowls, smoking drugs, and to, you know, in the next frame, smiling on her wedding day, her natural hair. It really is just, it's so encouraging, and it's a nice little bit of good news that we so rarely get.
That is encouraging. And that is why so many feminists are so ugly. It's not because they're naturally ugly. It's because bitterness actually ages you faster than a 2-pack-a-day habit of Marlboro Reds. It just sucks the life out
Absolutely.
Of your soul. Speaking of that, Kamala Harris is campaigning in New York with Kathy Hochul and all these people. And I don't understand this strategy at all, Lauren, because Kathy Hochul's down. Kathy Hochul's in trouble. So you're bringing in the least popular person in the Democratic Party to campaign for you? Do I have that right?
Yeah, and once more, I just think this speaks to the fact that Democrats need better campaign strategies. And actually, if any Democrats are watching this, even though I hate everything you stand for, I feel like I could still serve you better than whoever you're working with right now. Kamala Harris is the most unpopular vice president in history. And right now, Hochul is being slammed by Zeldin, specifically on her soft approach to crime. Perhaps the thinking there was, oh, well, you know, Kamala the cop, so maybe that'll balance out the fact that New York crime is running rampant. It's a terrible idea. If they actually wanted to have any hope of not being at least embarrassingly close to losing to a Republican in New York, then I would say they've got to examine a lot of these far left policies that have people so frustrated in the first place. And when that comes to New York, we're absolutely talking about bail reform that has let so many criminals back on the streets when they should be behind bars.
Can't let you go without asking you about the pandemic amnesty article in The Atlantic. I'm positive you know my thoughts on it, but I think people would like to hear your thoughts. Lauren, should we just let it all go? Just let bygones be bygones.
Absolutely not. And, you know, the thing is, I've had people say, Lauren, you're a Christian. Shouldn't we be about forgiveness? The thing with forgiveness is that usually it comes with an apology first. That the piece in The Atlantic where the author is asking for pandemic amnesty, I read it. I actually read it several times. There is no mention of an apology of an I'm sorry. We have people who absolutely jumped on the authoritarian bandwagon during the pandemic who are pushing for vax mandates, for people to cut family members out of their lives and celebrations because of their vax status. Now we have some of them saying, okay, well, perhaps we went a little far, but hey, we didn't know any better. It was a pandemic. What are you going to do? The thing is, other people did know better. Other people, we knew that masks were useless, especially the cloth ones. We knew that the vaccine didn't stop transmission. The thing is, when people try to tell you, you censored them and you demonized them. So I think it's going to take a lot more than a simple I'm sorry to make up for what happened over the past 2 years. And that's not even to mention the fact that once more, this author, she's not even saying I'm sorry. She's trying to excuse her behavior when, it was an emergency. That's not going to cut it. In a fair and a just world, these people, health professionals, media, politicians, they would all be facing tribunals and sentencing to pay for what they did to people.
Lauren Chen, go follow her stuff. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate you.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
All right. We have a great light in the moon. Hang on. But before we get to that, let's get to the global problem we have right now with food. Talked about it a ton of times on the show. I don't like bringing it up a bunch because it is kind of dark, but it's more than a diesel shortage. There's a food shortage. A lot of that's because of the attack on oil and gas. A lot of that's because of the Russia-Ukraine breadbasket that is now mostly taken off the market. There are a ton of reasons for it, but the railroad strike is still coming too, and we might run out of diesel fuel. Please tell me you're not waiting till next month to get your 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. If you're going to get it, now's the time. But Jesse, what if I don't need it now? You know, some of this stuff has a 25-year shelf life. Fine. I hope you don't need it now. I'll tell you this. I hope to God it goes to waste. I hope 25 years, so now you're chucking it in the trash. But man, if you do need it, you'll be grateful. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. They have $250 off their emergency 3-month food kit. MyPatriotSupply.com, all right? We'll be back. First of all, let's get something out of the way before we get to... Do you want to hear me body slam a liberal on the radio? It's going to be fun. You just got to buckle up for this. It's going to take a couple minutes. You're going to enjoy it. But before we get to that, let me get to this. You want to watch me do my radio show? I know you watch me on TV every night for an hour. I'm on radio for 3 hours. You can go support the first, and then you get to watch me every single night. Do TV and radio. TheFirstTV.com/support. Go sign up, become a supporter, and enjoy. Now, what kind of things are you going to see? Well, you won't just get to listen. You get to watch me do things like this. Christopher Boston, go.
So here's my question. Conservatives are so against vaccines for COVID. think, you know, it's a conspiracy or it's whatever it is, right? But yet I would assume that most of you are totally fine with the vaccines that kids have to get to go to school, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, all this stuff, right? The vaccines that a child goes through in their normal development, those are okay, but why is this one coming, you know, a conspiracy coming from the left?
I think, hold on. I think you have me wrong. I'm excited about the prospect of a COVID vaccine. It's a deadly disease. Is there one available?
But
Christopher, I'm asking because my mumps, measles vaccines that I got when I was a kid, here's what's amazing. It's incredible. It's amazing what happened. I got vaccinated for it, and then I didn't get it.
Yeah.
It almost worked like a vaccine, but you keep saying there's a vaccine available. Where is it? I haven't seen it. Is it available? Do you have it hidden somewhere? Where is it?
So you're absolutely sure that when other vaccines came out, they didn't go through a trial period or period of refinement where they were made more effective?
They did, actually. In fact, it's actually really cool. One thing they do when there's a new medical product of any kind coming out, they actually do put them through trials. These long clinical trials to make sure. Don't talk over me. Don't talk over me. To make sure to go through these long clinical trials to make sure that you get to. So they don't put something in the to the public that's harmful to the public. That's what they do. It's really incredible. It's amazing. They do all this testing to make sure they're not doing anything harmful. But guess what, Christopher? You're the trial. You're the test subject. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed, they rushed this whole thing through totally free of liability. They tested the vaccine you're injecting into your body on 6 French rats. Now, 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds are dying of heart attacks. They're testing it on you. Shoot, I'm not mad at you, Christopher. I'm not even mad you talked over me. I owe you a thanks. Thanks for being my test subject and testing that bad boy out on me. And I'm excited about the thought of a COVID vaccine. Shoot, the one we have now has me so excited, I feel like my heart's going to explode.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.